Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, and we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in, and this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." To God be the glory. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God.
Amen. Praise God. Lord, give me the wisdom to be a good listener. Help me listen carefully to my family, to my friends, and most important, to you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Of life sent down from glory, many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter, but you are the living word, say it now, come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Bread sent down from glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. You are the
living
word.
Gentile Redeemer, God with us,
God with us, the living truth, and what a friend we have in you.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call you, yeah.
You
were born in a manger,
but
on a tree you died to save
man. The
Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call you. You were born in a manger, but on a tree you died to save your humanity. Can you take it up?
Oh, Jesus,
that's what we call you, Jesus.
Manger born,
but on a tree you
dear Lord, I have fallen short of your commandments, and you have forgiven me. You have blessed me with your love and your mercy. Enable me to be merciful toward others. Father, just as you have been merciful to me, and let me share your love with all whom I meet. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go. your hands and praise him now. He's worthy of the praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
God, everybody. And now it is time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled The Hindrance of Harbored Sin. Praise God. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Romans chapter 6, verse 6. And it says, our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Do you realize that harbored sin is one of the greatest hindrances to hearing the voice of God? Don't just dismiss that as something you know. Take it seriously. Habitual sin clouds your mind, dulling you from hearing what God has to say to you. Of course, we all sin and fight battles with temptation. However, there comes a point when we pass from committing a sin to harboring it, embracing it as part of who we are and what we're entitled to. God addresses something in our lives and we ignore him. He tells us, this is hurting you, but I want to set you free and truly meet that need in your life. Let go of this destructive habit. You know exactly what that is because it immediately comes to mind. But you have become enslaved to it. You refuse to let it go. That harbored sin is clouding your vision, dividing your mind and distracting from the abundant life your Father desires for you. He has better for you. So let go of that sin. Get accountability and help that will usher you into freedom. And trust God to fill your needs in a more profoundly satisfying way that you have ever imagined. Amen. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. Let us pray. Jesus, I repent. Help me to be free. In your name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play a selection, and after the selection, I will come back with a word from the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And it says, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it says, sometime later, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer and chief baker offended their royal master. Pharaoh became angry with these two officials, and he put them in the prison where Joseph was. In the palace of the captain of the guard. They remained in prison for quite some time, and the captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, who looked after them. While they were in prison, Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker each had a dream one night, and each dream had its own meaning. When Joseph saw them the next morning, he noticed that they both looked upset. "Why do you look so worried today?" he asked them. And they replied, "We both had dreams last night, but no one can tell us what they mean. Interpreting dreams is God's business," Joseph replied. "Go ahead and tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream first. "In my dream," he said, "I saw a grapevine in front of me. The vine had three branches that began to bud and blossom, and soon it produced clusters of ripe grapes. I was holding Pharaoh's wine cup in my hand, so I took a clutter of grapes and squeezed the juice into the cup. Then I placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." "This is what the dream means," Joseph said. "The three branches represents 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift you up and restore you to your position as his chief cupbearer. And please remember me and do me a favor when things go well for you. Mention me to Pharaoh, so he might let me out of this place. For I was kidnapped from my homeland and the land of the Hebrews. And now I'm here in prison, but I did nothing to deserve it." When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given the first dream such a positive interpretation, he said to Joseph, "I had a dream too. In my dream, there were three baskets of white pastries stacked on my head. The top basket contained all kinds of pastries for Pharaoh. But the birds came and ate them from the basket on my head. That is what the dream means." Joseph told him, "The three baskets also represents 3 days. 3 days from now, Pharaoh will lift you up and impale your body on a pole. Then birds will come and peck away at your flesh. Pharaoh's birthday came 3 days later, and he prepared a banquet for all his officials and staff. He summoned his chief cupbearer and chief baker to join the other officials. Then he restored the chief cupbearer to his former position so he could again hand Pharaoh his cup. But Pharaoh impaled the chief baker just as Joseph had predicted when he interpreted his dream. Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, however, forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. So, even while he was in prison, Joseph's sterling character shone forth. The prison warden recognized Joseph's integrity and put him in charge of all the prisoners. Like Potiphar, the warden gave Joseph free rein, and God blessed him even in prison. Sometime later, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker were thrown in prison. And once again, dreams entered Joseph's life. One night, the cupbearer and baker both had strange dreams. And the next morning, Joseph interpreted their dreams correctly. The cupbearer was restored to his position, but the baker was killed. Joseph refused to take credit for his wisdom, but gave it to God. Also, he asked the cupbearer to remember him kindly and mention him to Pharaoh. The cupbearer agreed, but after he was restored to favor, he failed to keep his promise. Let's look at this story more closely and glean some truth. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our families as they help us grow to be the people we have the potential to be. Especially in times of grief and heartache, we turn to our families for comfort and strength. May we always remember that your love is what guides us through rocky times. We bring our gifts to you this evening in recognition that you first loved us and gave us your Son so that we might have abundant life. We pray in Christ's name. Amen, amen, and amen. My text for this message is coming from Genesis chapter 40, verse 23 in the NIV. And it says, the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. And my title for this message is, Ingratitude is a Marble-Hearted Friend. Ingratitude is a Marble-Hearted Friend. Tonight, my message is divided into three paragraphs. Amen? First, we're going to talk about God keeps his eyes on his chosen ones. We must never forget that the most important message of the Old Testament is that God was working redemptively through the nation he had chosen. Although our Savior did not come through the line of Joseph, but God used Joseph to preserve the Israelites. And at this time, he was the key person in the messianic story. Of course, not all of us are chosen for such a strategic mission. But all of us are important to God. Amen? He has a place for each of us in his service. When we show him we intend to do his will and accomplish what he wants us to do. He will take care of us. An old truism says that Christians are divinely protected as long as they are in God's will and doing what God has mapped out for them. In spite of the opposition of the wicked people he encountered, Joseph continued to prosper because he was faithful in his living and loyal to the mission God had planned for him. Praise be to God. Evil people respect God people. Evil people respect good people. If people today live right and stay humble, even wicked people are impressed and show favor to them. Of course, both righteous living and a imp- proper attitude are important. If we are overbearing in our righteous deeds, we can easily hurt our cause and even bring others' wrath on us. Joseph stayed humble even when he received great responsibility. When he was called on to interpret the dreams, he gave credit to God. Wisdom is a great virtue, but directing credit to God for our wisdom is greater. Some have criticized Joseph for seeking to extract a promise from the cupbearer, claiming that he was not trusting God sufficiently. This is not a fair accusation. However, because God expects us to use every legitimate means to advance our cause, as long as we do not violate Christian conscience or employ unchristian methods, Joseph did what any of us would have done under the same circumstances. He was patient, but he also saw a chance to better himself and took advantage of it. He provided us with an example of constructively using every opportunity that comes to us. Selfishness and ingratitude are conjoined twins. In Genesis 40 and 23, in the NIV says, the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Imagine Joseph's devastation when he realized the cupbearer must have forgotten his promise. Of course, the cupbearer did remember Joseph later, but only when he saw a chance to impress Pharaoh. How often our good deeds are mingled with selfish motives. If Satan cannot get us to do a bad thing, he will lead us to do a good thing with the wrong spirit and the wrong motive. We cannot condemn the cupbearer without considering our own lives and ask whether we have been fair with the people who have done favors for us. The greatest kindness ever shown is Christ's death on the cross for us. Have we been faithful to him? Have we returned the love he has shown to us? Think about those two questions. Amen. Praise be to God. So Joseph's interpretation of the dreams came to pass on the very day fixed. On Pharaoh's birthday, all his servants attended him, and then the cases of these two came to be looked into. We may all profitable take notice of our birthdays with thankfulness for the mercies of our birth, sorrow for the sinfulness of our lives, and expectation of the day of our death as better than the day of our birth. But it seems strange that worldly people who are so fond of living here should rejoice at the end of the one year after another of their short span of life. A Christian has cause to rejoice that he was born, also that he comes nearer to the end of his sin and sorrow, and nearer to his everlasting happiness. The chief butler remembered not Joseph, but forgotten him. Joseph had deserved well at his hands, yet he forgot him. We must not think it strange. If in this world we have hatred shown us for our love and slights for our kindness, see how apart those who are themselves at ease are to forgetting others in distress. Joseph learned by his disappointment to trust in God only. We cannot expect too little from man, nor too much from God. Let us not forget the suffering, promises, and love of our Redeemer. We blame the chief butler's ingratitude to Joseph, yet we ourselves act much more ungratefully to the Lord Jesus. Joseph had but foretold the chief butler's enlargement, but Christ wrote out ours. He meditated with the King of Kings for us, yet we forget him, though often reminded of him, and though we have promised never to forget him. Thus ill do we requite him like foolish people and unwise. Praise be to God. And as I bring this message to a close, I just want to say that we need to take a good look at ourselves. Do we remember friends who have helped us along the way? Maybe we remember the person who introduced us to Christ as Savior, or the person who helped us get a new job, or the teacher who opened up new areas of truth to us. What about our parents who made sacrifices for years in order to give us a good education? We have much to be grateful for. May we never forget it. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is unto me. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and to do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you to the body of Christ. And the next thing you have to do is to find a good Bible-based church to continue your Christian walk with Christ. And my benediction is coming from Jude 24 and 25, where it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore." And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And while we are waiting on our speaker for this evening, I will play selection.
sacrifice. If you pour out your spirit, then I will open up inside. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God.
overflow in my heart and permeate all my soul. All my soul is yours. All my soul. All my soul. All my soul. All my soul is yours.
Forever could I use to explain?
God, again, we are waiting on our speaker for this evening. Praise God. In the meantime, I will play another selection. I normally give our speakers a 15-minute grace period, and so after that, I will come back with a word from the Lord if our speaker does not show up.
Heavens and on earth, in the seas and all their depths, Lord, you're greater. He makes clouds rise from the earth, sending lightning with the rain, and Lord, you're greater. Greater than all, your name endures.
and unto him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb that was slain, be all glory, honor, dominion, and power, forever and ever.
Praise somebody. He's worthy of our praise. Begin to worship His name today. The angels and the 24 elders and the four living creatures bow before Him. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. And we, the children of God, today we say hallelujah to your name.
Amen. Praise be to God. Now, if you have your Bibles, praise be to God, I'd like for you to turn with me to, give me 1 second, and we're going to Mark chapter 14, and we're going to read verses 53 through 72. Amen. And again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, where it says, they took Jesus to the high priest's home, where the leading priests, the elders, and the teachers of religious law had gathered. Meanwhile, Peter followed him at a distance and went right into the high priest's courtyard. There he sat with the guards, warming himself by the fire. Inside, the leading priests and the entire high council were trying to find evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death. But they could not find any. Many false witnesses spoke against him, but they contradict each other. Finally, some men stood up and gave this false testimony. We heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with human hands, and in 3 days, I will build another made without human hands. But even then, they did not get their story straight. So the high priest stood up before the others and asked Jesus, well, aren't you going to answer these charges? What do you have to say for yourself? But Jesus was silent and made no reply. Then the high priest asked him, are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? Jesus said, I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes to show his honor and said, his horror, and said, why do we need other witnesses? You have all heard this blaspheming. What is your verdict? Guilty, they all cried. He deserves to die. Then some of them began to spit at him, and they blindfolded him and beat him with their fists. Prophesy to us, they jeered, and the guards slapped him as they took him away. Meanwhile, Peter was in the courtyard below, One of the servant girls who worked for the high priest came by and noticed Peter warming himself at the fire. She looked at him closely and said, "You were one of those with Jesus of Nazareth." But Peter denied it. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. And he went out into the entryway. Just then, a rooster crowed. When the servant girl saw him standing there, she began telling the others, "This man is definitely one of them." But Peter denied it again. A little later, some of the other bystanders controlled Peter and said, "You must be one of them because you are a Galilean." Peter swore, "A curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know this man you're talking about." And immediately the rooster crowed the second time. And suddenly Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny three times that you even know me." And he broke down and wept. Praise be to God. Amen. God bless you.
Am I too late?
No, you have a half an hour, 45 minutes to...
Oh, thank you.
I'll continue my sermon. You can just go back because I hear everything. That's too loud. Yes.
Sorry.
No problem. See you next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Bye.
Amen. And that is our scripture reading for this evening. So at this time, I will, praise God, I will say a prayer, and then we will get into our message. Father, you have taught us to love one another as you have loved us. Help us today to see that many of your best gifts to us are the people you put in our lives. We are your people, and you have made us to be friends. May our friendship always strengthen one another and bring glory to you. Great God of gifts, we bring our gifts to you this evening. Much of what we have and now give is made possible through the help and encouragement of the friends you have given to us. Help us to be worthy friends to others. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Any of us, okay, one second. Praise God. Okay, now we're ready. Praise the Lord. So, any of us could have done what Peter did. failure as a disciple does not require exceptional weakness or extreme character flaws. Now, this careful record of Peter's failure is a good reminder of this fact. Peter, a chief apostle, was present at the cross as a failure. Let's review the facts we know about Peter so that we can put his failure in proper perspective. He joined the followers of Jesus very early after his brother, Andrew, brought him to Jesus. He gave up a fishing business to become a fisher of men. Jesus chose him to be one of the 12 apostles and later included him in the inner circle. He was present at the transfiguration of our Lord and was an eyewitness of most of his miracles. He had received personal instructions from the Lord on a daily basis for over three years before his failure. Peter had not always been a failure. He was the one who gave the bold confession that so delighted Jesus' heart. Peter had never, Peter had never been without words before. But now, under the pressure of the circumstances, facing the scrutiny of the group in the courtyard of the high priest, he vehemently denied three times that he knew the Lord. Though he had loved the Lord, he denied him. Most of us who have been disciples a while can identify with Peter. Amen? We know the pain of failure. We can learn from Peter's experience. Praise be to God. My text for this message is coming from Mark chapter 14, verses 66 through 72. And it says, while Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. You also were with that Nazarene Jesus, she said. But he denied it. I don't know or understand what you're talking about, he said, and went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, this fellow is one of them. Again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. He began to call down curse, and he swore to them, I don't know this man you are talking about, he said. And immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him before the rooster crows twice. You will disown me three times. And he broke down and wept. Poor Peter, he was so sorry that he denied his master. And my title for this message is The Face of Failure, Simon Peter. And tonight, my message is divided into three paragraphs. Amen. The shame of our faith. Failure is always shameful, but it's especially so when detected in the life of someone so privileged. The failure represents a misjudged evil. Peter had no intention of failing. His intentions were to be faithful to the Lord, regardless of what might happen. He sincerely expressed these intentions in the upper room, as the disciples observed the Passover. Amen? But in making his spiritual calculations, Peter misjudged the power of the evil one. Jesus tried to sober his calculation by reminding Peter that Satan has made a request to sniff him, to sniff Peter. Amen? As wheat in a sifter. But Peter ignored the warning. He felt sufficient in his own strength for any power that might rise against him. Wise men and women are careful to measure the strength of their enemy. Those who succeed in discipleship are always mindful that the enemy is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Peter learned this truth the hard way. Like so many of us, we have to learn the hard way. The failure represents a mistaken concept of self. Peter did not know himself as well as he thought. Peter could not do all that he thought he could do. More of the old Simon was still present in him that he wanted to admit. Peter's word of dedication spoken in the upper room did not come from his faith in God, but rather from his faith in himself. They were the bold claims of a self-sufficient man. On the contrary, the person best prepared for the way of discipleship is the one who confesses. In Romans 7:18 says, in my flesh there dwells no good thing. Our only hope of avoiding failure is by wholly depending on the Lord and his strength. Praise be to God. The failure involves a denial of Christ. as Peter tried to be inconspicuous in the courtyard, he was discovered. Three times he was asked if he was a follower of Jesus, who was then on trial. And each time, Peter's response was the same. He denied that he had ever known the Lord because he suspected that his denial was not convincing the crowd. And the third time, even including a religious oath and curse, many of us have done the same shameful thing. It may have been by our words or by our deeds. But we denied Christ. Likely, the circumstances under which we did it was not nearly so threatening. But failing our Lord is a shameful deed under any circumstances. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The sorrow over our failure, a sign of repentance. True disciples weep over their failures. They are never proud or boastful about such shameful matters. Peter's sorrow began the moment he heard the rooster crow, reminding him of the warning the Lord had spoken to him. Then there was the look that he received from Jesus as he remembered. The look must have emanated sorrow and hurt. It sent Peter out into the night to express his sorrow with tears. Peter was not merely sorry that he had been caught in his denial, but was sorry for his failure and for how it had hurt Jesus. There is no real repentance without this type of sorrow. Such sorrow is a proper response when we know we have failed. A step toward recovery. The scripture assures us that God is near to those with a broken and contrite heart. Hallelujah. If Peter had approached the whole ordeal with the same broken spirit that he had when he came out of it, he never would have failed. But he was soon to discover that his tears were not in vain. Our forgiving and compassionate God takes notes of such sorrow. It is a true step toward recovery. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. The solace after our failure. Peter's experience is good news for every failing disciple. Our failures do not have to be final. The solace of forgiveness, tears of repentance, will bring us to the solace of forgiveness. A poem by Dylan Thomas describes God's commission of a man to find the world's greatest treasure. The man finally locates a tear of repentance that proves to be the most precious thing earth can produce. Martin Luther wrote, "No article of the creed is so hard to believe as this. I believe in the forgiveness of sins." But look at Peter. If I could paint a portrait of Peter, I would write on every hair of his head, forgiveness of sins. How do we know that Peter was forgiven? After Jesus rose from the dead, he sent a special message to his disciples, and he instructed the woman who carried the message to deliver it to Peter personally. Our Lord forgave Peter fully, and he will forgive us when we fail. Hallelujah. The solace of fellowship. Much of the sorrow related to failure comes from our broken fellowship with Jesus. Knowing that we have disappointed him makes us uncomfortable in his presence. But after we receive his forgiveness, we can begin to enjoy his company again. This was true for Peter in the time he spent with Jesus after the resurrection. The fellowship was restored. He was not banished forever as he thought he might be. Praise be to God. So you see, Peter thought that because he denied Jesus that he would be abandoned. But my brothers and sisters, we have here Christ's condemnation before the great council of the Jews. Peter followed, but the high priest's fireside was no proper place, nor his servant proper company. For Peter, it was an entrance into temptation. Great diligence was used to procure false witnesses against Jesus, yet their testimony was not equal to the charge of a capital crime. By the utmost strength of their law, he was asked, "Art thou the Son of the Blessed?" That is, the Son of God. For the proof of his being the Son of God, he refers to his second coming. And these outrages, we have proof of man's enmity to God and God and of God's free and unspeakable love to man. Peter's denying Christ began by keeping at a distance from him. Those that are shy of godliness are far in the way of denying Christ. Those who think it dangerous to be in company with Christ's disciples because thence they may be drawn to suffer for him. We find it much more dangerous to be in company with his enemies because they may be drawn into sin against him. When Christ was admired and flocked after, Peter readily owned him, but will own no relation to him. Now he is deserted and despised, yet observe, Peter's repentance was very speedy. Let him that thinketh he staineth take heed lest he falls. And let him that has fallen think of these things and of his own offenses and return to the Lord with weeping and supplication, seeking forgiveness and be raised up by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And as I bring this message to a close, I just want to say, Praise be to God. How we deal with our failures is important. For Peter, a shameful failure became a positive experience as he allowed his heart to be broken and struggled to gain another opportunity to show his loyalty. The record of Peter's ministry in the book of Acts after he was filled with the Holy Spirit is evidence enough of what a failure can become. How are you handling your failures? Praise be to God. I hope and pray that this message is a blessing to you as it is to me. To God be the glory. Praise God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of faith after me. Father God, I am a sinner. I pray you forgive me for my sins. I thank you for sending your only begotten Son to die on the cross for my sins. Jesus, be my Lord, Savior, and friend. I want to follow you all the days of my life. I pray that your Holy Spirit takes residence in me. All these blessings I ask in Jesus' name. I pray and believe that it is already done. Amen, amen, and amen. So my brothers and sisters, let the power of God manifest a breakthrough in your life. For Jesus is Lord. To God be the glory. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And all you have to do after that is to find a good Bible-based church that teaches the Word of God. Amen. And my benediction for this message is coming from Jude 24 and 25, and it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. And once again, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you. And heaven smile upon you until we meet again tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. when I will come with our sweet hour of prayer. And at 7 p.m., our very own Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry will be here to bless our hearts, minds, and souls with a wonderful word from the Lord. So you don't want to miss this Holy Ghost-filled woman on fire for the Lord. tune in at 7 p.m. when Pastor Kathy will bless us with a word. Amen. So God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. And we love you. And thank you again for tuning in to Pray One for Another. Love you all. Good night and shalom. And on that note, we are going to leave out on Rise by Rob and Ore. Good night, everybody. Love you. Amen.